Inbox.
My desk here.
And.
So we'll have to practice it one time.
I'm tracking it now. I got Meredith working on it.
Four minutes, 5:56.
Do you know Kayden's gonna be here, Mr. Jones?
No. Would you have something?
I just wanted to talk to him about that leasing agreement, or the leasing services agreement, RFP.
Oh, okay.
I thought, I just assumed he'd be here, but he's not present. Just send me my brown. Looks like my hand is.
Got a red pen.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Water.
Water.
Thank you.
For a mayor.
Did you take one? Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It is now 6:00, and we're ready to begin the workshop meeting of the Fairburn City Council. Today is February 12th, 2018. I now call the meeting to order. Clerk, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Elizabeth Conhurst.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
Councilman Pat Allen.
Present.
Councilman Alyssa Smallwood.
Present.
Councilwoman Hattie Fortis Jones.
Present.
All are present, and we have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The first item on the agenda tonight is a presentation by Premier Institute of Government for Contract Services, and the introduction will be done by our Councilman Alyssa Smallwood. Yeah,
I'm good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good evening, Mayor, Council, and everyone. I met the Premier, Mr. and Mr. Ali, going on a year now, and they're of the Premier Institute of Government Contracting, and just meeting with them, they have a host, just a plethora of knowledge and contracts, government laws, from the federal to the state to the local level. And we've each expressed an interest to have, as we award contracts, our socio and economically disadvantaged businesses have a fair opportunity to get those contracts. So I just believe as a council and the city look at our procurement policies and procedures, they'll be able to help us in that process. So that's why I would like them to have this presentation tonight.
So who will be doing the presentation?
It will be a combination of the.
Okay, okay, you have 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. You can begin. Yeah, you can begin.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Lady Chap and Lady Mayor.
Thank you.
And distinguished board members. My name is Yusuf Ali. I am an international and as well as national business owner. We've been around for about 40 years. and we have worked and procured services from every aspect of the free enterprise market that you can comprehend, from federal, state, local, as well as private. However, but as I travel throughout the country, procurement of services and goods is what we've primarily done for 40 years. And some of the things that we run into and that we discovered with that, a lot of government entities are in non-compliance with a lot of things, not because they're deliberately doing it, but because of the lack of knowledge and in the compilation of their procurement policy. So what we would like to do is use our experience and try to bring forth some of the policies and lend our services to the city in developing that procurement policy.
To give you a little more background on ourselves, we've worked all around the world, from London, Tajikistan, Vietnam, Haiti, and America. So 2 years ago, my father and I, we recognized the problem with municipalities throughout the United States, and we wanted to do something about those particular problems. The primary problem is the procurement. How do we utilize socially and economically disadvantaged businesses more? How do we get the cities and the municipalities and the county to recognize that they should have a policy that represents their constituents in their particular area? So what we would like to do, we would like to help the city of Fairburn come up to compliance, and we would like to have the city of Fairburn come up to compliance within the law also. There are certain federal regulations and certain federal guidelines that the city of Fairburn right now is violating. So we would like to see how can we help come up with a policy that would endeavor the people within the city of Fairburn to have their fair share within the procurement. The ultimate goal is to make sure that the procurement policy is fair and equal for all, especially socially and economically disadvantaged businesses.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Vivian Thomas, and I'm the third presenter for you this afternoon concerning procurement. They've already explained part. I want to talk about the process that we want to go through to make this happen. Premier Institute of Government Contracting is a group of individuals with 60 years of training in the procurement industry. And our goal is to come in and look at your procurement process and see what you're doing now and how we can make that better. We want to make it better for your administration, we want to make it better for your staff, we want to talk about how your invoice is processed, how your purchase orders are processed. What can we do to make that better for you? More accountability, more transparent. So you have the opportunity for everyone to have the opportunity to bid on these contracts. And we'll be looking at the guidelines from the federal and state and local statutes to determine exactly what we need to do to make that happen for you. So the first part is a review, looking at what you have in place. The second part will take that information, compare it to other cities that are like yours, and determine what elements are working in those particular areas that we can bring and introduce to you. So we're doing some type of comparative study there. We'll make a proposal to your administrator and say to her, this is what we found, and this is what's compatible out there to what you're trying to achieve. Take that whole process and talk to some of your staff and ask them, what do you like about it? What would you like to see changed about it? How can we make that better? We'll look at your hardware, we'll look at your software to make sure it's up to date so it can run the software that's needed to make you more competitive, not only here, but maybe beyond some things that you're looking at doing as well. So in doing that, we're putting together a whole package for you and then put together a final proposal, implement that proposal, implement that new system, and then evaluate how applicable it is. Is it working? Is it effective? Can it produce? Are you saving money with it? Can you easily trace what you want to trace with that? And then monitor it as well. So in summary, it will be a full system that you know will be in compliance with the federal rules and regulations, compliant with the state government as well, and will accommodate your needs. Ms. Dolly.
That's some of the things. We know that small business is some of the backbone of our economy. And therefore, we should have policies, and what we hope to do is develop work with the city in developing those policies that will aid, assist, counsel, develop, and protect small business locally. And those are some of the things that we have perused, that some of the businesses here, they would like to see more policy-friendly, more local business involvement. And sometimes in our absence thereof, we omit some of the most critical part of our community development, which is small businesses. So that's why we want to really hum in on the small business procurement sector of the overall procurement sector.
So we've been, Favron, we have history in Favron. I used to live in Favron, I just moved down the street to Tower Oak, Georgia. So I still consider myself in this particular area. I know Favron not extremely well. We've been asked by major cities, and I say the name of some of these cities, not just the show the knowledge that we have to do this. Currently, we are we've been asked to write a policy for the city of Atlanta, Albany, Georgia, Athens, I'm missing a few, East Point, Hampton, Georgia. So we wanted to bring something of our expertise to local Favron, something that I hold dear in my heart, something that I can figure out how to help the local small business in this particular area. More importantly, how to help Favron thrive with the local small business. We have been campaigning for small business for the past 2 years. We know the small business in this area extremely, extremely well. We've had meetings in our office for the past 2 years. We've heard their complaints. We've heard their issues with certain things. And so we said that it's time for us to step up and see what can we do to help out the city of Favron.
Okay, is that the end of your presentation? Does any council members have any questions that they would like to bring forth?
I do.
Okay.
I have a couple questions here. It's my understanding that studies have to be done, dealing with the small business people. And I understand that it's very extremely costly to do that. Can you give me some idea about what the cost would be to do that?
Two things. The study that I think you referred to is a disparity study?
Yes.
Okay, but according to federal law and state law, they're pretty much voluntarily done. Everyone is mandated by Congress to implement the program. They're supposed to be part of our procurement process already. And the absence thereof is what caused the disparity study. Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes I've seen people of local municipality pay as much as $750,000 for the disparity study.
Right.
We're saying that if we come into compliance, there's no need of having a disparity study because we already be in compliance.
What is the cost of your service?
The initial phase of our is
the initial phase is only $25,000.
Yeah, right. Phase one.
Yes.
And then based upon how we move forward, we can initially let you know the cost as we go forward in making this happen. And I do want to state too, on the back of Mr. Ali said, disparity studies normally tell you what you already know. So you pay somebody hundreds of thousands of dollars and go, well, I knew that before you did it. Which is true. Because you know it before they even do the studies, and they are optional. We wouldn't want to put that extra cost on you to do that type of study. So initially, we're actually looking at $25,000 to come and evaluate where you are. Based on that, then give your proposal, say, this is what we think we should do for you. Here's the cost to implement that same process. So you're in control of your costs. You're in control of how we go forward. You're in control of how we move forward with this whole program. And that's the whole goal. We're not here to hurt the city. We're here to try to make opportunity for small businesses. And after hearing what they're going through, we want to make sure, he's looking very too. We want to make sure they have the same opportunities as anybody else that comes to your city. I was in Fireside Subdivision. When he said that, I didn't realize that. So we have a passion for Favron, Georgia here.
Now, you're saying that we can select, but is there a requirement under federal law that we do certain things?
That is correct.
All right, now what would the cost be for the things that's required that we got to have to satisfy this?
See, the first step is that we have to come in and do the evaluation,
right,
and that's the $25,000, and we would lay out all of the missing components,
yes,
to bring the city into compliance, and at that time we could put a cost to it so you can see what that would cost.
I mean, could you just give me just a ballpark? I mean, I won't hold you to it, but just a ballpark figure what this normally runs. See, we have a budget that we've already voted on, and we know how much money that we have to spend. So that's why I say I don't want to get the city into a position that we're shelling out hundreds of thousands of dollars for something without knowing in advance what we're headed for. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand fully, but that's not what we're, for example, to do the initial assessment,
yes,
that would determine on what you already have. You may have the capacity to do a service, a lot of these things. So to give you a call on what it takes to do a full implementation,
yeah,
we wouldn't know until we first did the evaluation. But it is the law that you have the compliance things in place.
Yes.
But you may have services already here that could to do a lot of it.
Okay.
Does any other council, are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, are there any other questions from any other council members?
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Jones.
Could you talk about some of those compliance items that you're referencing, and what have you found with some of the other cities that you've worked with that would be out of compliance or in compliance for that matter? Some level of specificity, so we have some idea.
For example, Congress mandated in 1953 and 1958 and has ratified every year thereafter,
mm-hmm,
the Small Business Act. And that say that for you have to advertise your bid in a public forum. A lot of the cities, we found that they are not centralized. There's decentralized government. They don't have that process, which is technically exposing great liability to the city. For fairness, how would I compete for a contract when I don't know when it's going to go out for bid? So that's one area, is that at the municipality, you have to have a procurement process.
Then another area would be, just like the Constitution said, it's vital to the economy that small businesses have a fair participation in it. We've seen a lot of large cities and small cities take up the notion to where they allow large corporations to come into town. These large corporations get the contract, but there's no procurement policy for socially and economically disadvantaged business to make sure that they get their fair shake of the projects also. So these are certain things that most cities fail to comply with.
Another question,
sure,
if I may. Mm-hmm. You referenced the act that was initially established in the 50s, the small business. However, this whole issue of disparity study and fairness really came to fruition, or was at the height during the 80s, 90s, and into. And it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the reasoning for that was so that we could show proof if we are legally challenged. So tell me how we get around the legality of setting into place certain policies and procedures that may favor, if you will, or to assist in small and disadvantaged businesses. And believe you me, that is an issue. On day one when I came to this council, I brought up that subject because I've come from several municipalities where we have undergone that process. But I have not had an experience without a disparity study. So I need to understand, you know, what's our protection as an entity if we are legally challenged?
One of the main difference, we've reviewed over 2,000 disparity studies. One of the main problems that is consistent in all of them is that a lot of them are race-based.
Okay.
That is a problem within itself.
Okay.
What they should be based upon socially and economically disadvantaged person, which covers even the poor whites in the Appalachian Mountains. If they're socially and economically disadvantaged, they should have some type of mechanism of protecting their interest in contracts. Likewise, in the inner city, if you have socially and economically disadvantaged businesses there, or wherever it may be, it's not based upon race, sex, creed, or color.
Okay.
It is strictly socially and economically disadvantaged.
And that's a federal
disparity.
And that's a federal definition.
That's a federal okay. Definition.
Definition. Okay.
Well, we've kind of passed our time. Are there any other questions from any other council members? If not, thank you so much for your presentation. Good to see you again, Mr. Ali,
yes,
and you, Omar,
yes,
and Ms. Vivian. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a discussion of mayor and council decorum. But before we get to that, let us do the next item, because it's not going to take that long to do the discussion of special elections and the contracting with Fulton County. So let's do number two, and then we'll go back to discussion of mayor and council decorum. In your packet, you should have a document. Well, no, there's not a document, but we're going to have Jennifer. Jennifer has a document she's going to pass out to everyone concerning the election, the special election. Jennifer, you want to explain to them what is going on at this point with the special election? The talks that you've had, because I have not had any talks with anyone about the special election.
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay.
I was contacted last week by Dwight Bauer, who is with Fulton County Elections, and he told me that as the superintendent for the city, that Fulton County was considering from going from three polling places to one polling place. The reason being is that they received numerous complaints during the last election about the three polling places, and that one of the venues was charging an excessive rate, rental rate, of $1,500.
Wow.
And the board is, the Fulton County Board of Elections is supposed to be meeting on March the 8th to consider the proposal of doing that. And in your packet, you will see a sheet that looks like this, where they are explaining what they want to do. So they'll go from, they would eliminate the open word church and the Harvest Rain Church, so everything would return to the voting at the First Baptist Church of Fairburn.
May I? Well, let's see what before.
Okay.
Okay, is that it, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say before we start the discussion that this is going before the Fulton Board of Elections on the 8th at 10 o'clock. And their recommendation is going to be that they reduce the 3 polling places.
I'm sorry, Mayor, you said the 8th of
March.
Okay.
March 8th at 10 o'clock. I pulled the turnout for the election that was November the 7th of 2017. Open Word had 738 people to vote there. Harvest Rain had 509. And First Baptist Church had 67. Let me say that Fulton County is at fault with what happened at this election. First of all, people did not get their voting cards in time. I did not get mine until the Thursday after the election. Okay, so people didn't know where they were supposed to go. They drew the lines where they were very confusing, because there were people in subdivisions, some folks were going to one place, same subdivision, people were going to another place. That was confusing. So I'm going to have a conversation later this week with Fulton County, and we're gonna have a discussion now, but it's going to be my recommendation and working with the council that we maintain our 3 polling places. Now, the people that called and complained, people are going to complain when there are changes. And there were changes. But a lot of this was Fulton County's fault. It was not the city of Fairburn. So I'll open the floor up for discussion. Mr. Whitmore.
Yes. And Mayor, that is true. As a matter of fact, in my subdivision, prior to the election, we held a meeting within my subdivision, and I was asked to come just to share what was happening around the city of Fairburn. In so doing, we made mention of the 3 polling places, and at that time, I identified the fact that everyone in the community would be going to First Baptist based on the way things was laid out, and I had one lady say, oh no, that's not true, and she actually pulled out her polling card that was sending her to Harvest Rain, which didn't make sense. The night of the election, I stopped at Harvest Rain just to review the processes and procedures there. And I had one gentleman that was working the polls, and his grandfather lives right around the corner from Harvest Rain, came to Harvest Rain to vote, and they said, I'm sorry, sir, you can't vote here. And he looked at me and said, why? I said, well, this is not your polling place. They sent him all the way over to
Open Word,
which didn't make sense. So there was a lot of confusion with the way the Board of Election laid things out and communicated with everybody within the city of Fairburn, which I think almost caused us to be disenfranchised for that particular vote of last November. But then, and also in looking at the numbers that I'm reviewing here, it's quite evident that both Open Word and Harvest Rain have the numbers where people come out to vote versus First Baptist Church. Now, maybe First Baptist Church, those that were assigned that particular voting station, maybe they all did early voting, possibly. But the fact that we are getting a larger turnout, the other 2 facilities, I would strongly recommend we would stay with the 3 as well. I think it's important that as our city continues to grow, we provide our citizens with the means of having more than one voting place, especially with the lack of parking that we experienced 2.5 years ago when everybody was going to First Baptist Church. We had people that were turning around and leaving and not voting because of lack of parking, and also with some other confusions that was going on during that particular cycle.
Also, when I got my polling place, living where I do, next to I-85 on Bethel Road, I was directed to go to Open Word instead of, which is further away than the First Baptist Church. Now, I always early vote anyhow.
Me too.
So, do you have any idea how many voted in the early voting by chance?
I don't I didn't pull those numbers.
You didn't, okay.
I did not, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
And I don't think they have it on the sheet that they sent us.
But it sounds like what they've done is they've just at random sent people in different directions and that's created confusion.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Like I said, I didn't get my voting, card until, after the election, but I voted early, so it wasn't a problem with me.
That's what it meant.
But, I think that we need to have a conversation with the church that charged that, because what happens is, in a primary election, Fulton County has to pay for the cost of that, polling place. In a municipal election, cities carry that cost. So, what Fulton County doesn't want to do is pay anything. They want to, they want the locations free. But I think at this point, we should have a conversation with, that location, that church that charged, the $1,500 and see if they would be willing to waive it. And we need to get a letter down to Fulton County Board of Elections that it is whatever the council decide that if we want to maintain those three polling places. This is the first time we've heard of this was on Friday. Now, if all of these people complained back in November, no one has said anything to this council until Friday. And they actually had a meeting on Thursday, and they would have voted on this on Thursday, but there was a legal niche there with the notification. So that's why they didn't vote on it on Thursday. So it's being placed on the agenda for March the 8th. So, Mr. Palin, do you have any comments on this?
I have still to get it. I have yet to get a voter registration card. Okay, period over now. And I've always voted early at the library.
Me too.
Okay, because it doesn't make any sense to stand in line if I could walk in, walk out, and see.
Right.
And I would tell you that when I went in on the very first day, first thing in the morning, it was a complete. It was a challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I was talking with the guy who was running the show. And they didn't know anything about anything. I was there for 25 minutes while they figured out who I was and where and on and on. And I said to this guy, what would you be doing if there were 100 of us standing around here today?
Right.
And his excuse was that they were learning on the job. And my statement was, not on the job, big time. They should know what they're doing before they get here. So I presume that there were any number of people who may have been interested in voting early, who turned around and walked out the door.
Mm-hmm.
They did an inept job, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Smallwood?
Yes, several people walked out, as I voted early as well, and I was one of those ones. It took like 30 minutes for them to call somewhere to, you know, get me squared away, but other people that happened to, they just walked out. And I did have neighbors that experienced what he said about a whole pocket of an entire community going to one place, but then there was a pocket in the community that was sent somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, with anything new, there's going to be some hiccups. But I did like the three polling places as well, because the entire day as I traveled to each one of them, it wasn't the type of issues that you've seen in other elections where it's just overcrowded. It seemed to flow pretty smoothly, but we did have those particular issues just with people not knowing where to go. And like I said, I never have received a voting card either, my location either. Mm-hmm. I had to look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ms. Jones, do you have anything?
I wanted to ask a couple questions for clarification. Jennifer, when you made the presentation, you said, unless I misunderstood, that the Board of Elections was going to decide that we have only one location?
Yes, ma'am. That was the information that was relayed to me. As Fulton County serves as a contractor, they are the superintendent of elections, and they can make this decision.
So they can dictate?
Yes, ma'am. Unless, like the mayor says, we intervene.
I see.
At the meeting or get a letter to them.
Okay.
I was told that we can write a letter to them, write it to the chair of the board, copy all of the members of the board, and we also should go down to the meeting that they're going to have on March 8th if we want to maintain our three polling places. Mm-hmm. So it's my suggestion that we get Mr. Turner to write us a letter. Mm-hmm. Actually include in the letter all the issues that happen. We don't want to throw it back on them, but just tell them the issues that happen. You know, we didn't get voting cards. People didn't know where they were supposed to go. It was just a mess. And even on voting day, the staff didn't know what was going on. So it was very confusing.
And please add to that list incorrect information. They had wrong addresses. Mm-hmm. For the sites. That's unacceptable. Totally unacceptable.
They did.
And I agree with the three polling sites, and the reasons that we gave initially still stand from my perspective as to why we need three. So we can include that as well. Appreciate your consideration of that.
So are we on board that Randy writes a letter and we take it from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay. One last question.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a, are we in conversations for which election, March or May?
That's something that we need to talk about, Jennifer. It will be the May.
May 22nd.
Yeah, May 22nd. Not the March, but the May 22nd.
Thank you.
We would have to pay for the March. We don't pay for the May because it's a primary.
Okay.
And so we
pay the 10% administrative fee.
Yeah, well,
okay.
10%.
For the May.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
So the vacant seat on this council will be on the ballot in May, May 22nd.
That's, okay. And that will be the no early voting. It's just going to be that one day.
I'm sure they'll have early voting. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to discussion of mayor and council decorum. There were two documents in your packet that was also given out at the retreat. Concerning decorum, we thought that it was time for us to put in place some decorum for our city council. And I don't know if you all have had time to review any of these to highlight what you would like to have included, what you would have like to have deleted. There were two documents. One was given to us by our city attorney. And the other one was the document that's being presently used by the Fulton County government. So does anyone have any suggestions on how we can incorporate these two documents or exactly which way we're going with our inclusions of one or the other? Any suggestion?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
In the example that we were given from the Board of Commissions, the issue regarding quorum that
if,
I'm sorry, page 5, rule number 4. The in the middle of the paragraph, if during the course of a meeting, a quorum is lost, that the board cannot transact business. I'd like for us to consider that for discussion, because if someone leaves during the course of the meeting and we no longer have a quorum as we started with the meeting, we are actually misrepresenting because we are saying that we do have a quorum to continue business. In actuality, we don't. So I'd like that to be considered. The second issue is abstention.
Mm-hmm.
That that we must state why we are abstaining, and we should define when it is appropriate for us to abstain. Otherwise, we are required to vote. And I believe that was the... that's it. Those two items, yes.
Okay. Does anyone else have any suggestions? Mr. Palin?
Yeah, I'm wondering, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it strikes me, I read something under the business of procedure about council members being able to, in the course of discussion, bring the issue up twice. Did I misread that?
Yes, Rule 11, near the bottom.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, that's in the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah,
that was one of the reasons I put this on. I have no idea if that's something that council is interested in enacting, but in all candor, I don't think the Board of Commissioners really enforces that rule.
Yeah, I understand.
If you've been to many of their meetings, you know that's not right. They don't necessarily enforce it, but they did have this procedural rule that says that you can only discuss items, I think, two times?
Right? Two times.
Up to 10 minutes if I
remember. Whether or not we think that should be allowed, or we should simply say you've got something to say, say it one time and be done with what you want.
And then calling the question where immediate, if you think it's going on, discussion's going on long enough that you can call the question, and immediately there's, if it's seconded,
right,
then you can vote and end it, correct?
So I think that's falling under Robert's rules.
It is.
That's what's in place to prevent that. So if somebody is just going on and on and on, mm-hmm, you can just call for the vote.
Yes.
Get the second and move on.
Yes, absolutely.
If I read the same document somewhere, they talked about a time limit that would allow you to you can only discuss a point twice within a certain time limit to allow the discussion to take place, because someone could immediately call for the question without any debate. And so we want to ensure that debate is allowed. So if we consider that, then if we can put in a time limit of some kind to ensure that debate does take place. And there was an example of that, I believe I was looking on the GMA website, someone has sent it to me, about one of the worst board meetings ever. And that's exactly what it happened to be the presiding, but they immediately did that to eliminate debate on an issue that they did not want debated. Mm-hmm. So, not that that would happen, but.
Wouldn't that also fall under ethical obligation as elected officials that we would not do something like that?
No. I don't believe so. No. Debate is certainly always contemplated on a motion that's been made and seconded. That's the procedural importance of the mayor actually announcing that there's a motion and there's a second. Are there any discussion? That's what actually puts the item in front of the body, is those words,
right,
after that motion and second's been made. I've not seen anyone try to avoid debate altogether in moving a motion like that. But mm-hmm. You can see it happening.
So do we want to look at these particular items that Councilwoman Portis Jones brought up? And Mr. Palin, and incorporate those into the draft document that Mr. attorney has given us, and then take another look at it again, so we can put something before the council.
Yes.
I think there was a concern, and I don't think it's in here, concerning council comments at the end of the meeting. Do we want to put something in the decorum concerning council comments? How long a council member?
2 minutes. How about that?
How about 30 seconds?
More than 2 minutes.
2 minutes, do it all. 30 seconds.
But you don't have to take two minutes, right?
So we do want to put something in concerning council comments. So we're debating between 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, I'd like to offer 3 minutes. I mean, we should at least be allowed to have the same number of minutes that the public has, at least. At least.
How about we base it on how many people are actually seated in the audience? Okay? As opposed to making speeches on 2 people.
Well, most of the time at the end of the meetings, it's employees only in here anyhow. So, that's the thing that I've found throughout the years.
Okay, so are we going with 30 seconds, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes? Because Mr. Turner has to put something in the document.
Like that. Go 90, don't a minute and a half or something. Let's move on. We're gonna talk this to death here.
Okay.
Well, we can always come back after the fact. If we say 2 minutes, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We can come back and revisit it. It's easy to make a pen and ink check.
I can leave it blank if you like, but I'll put something
in. Please include that there need to be more than 3 people in the room.
Okay, so Mr. Turner is going to include these items into this draft agenda, this draft document that we have, and then he's going to bring it back before us. Do we want it at the next meeting or the following meet? Well, the following meeting is canceled because we're in. So when do we want him to bring it back? The next meeting or the last meeting in March?
Is the first meeting in March canceled? Or the last meeting?
Which meeting in March is canceled?
We had a meeting
well,
council
we're in
National League of Cities.
Is that meeting canceled?
It's not on the calendar that we published, but let me just do it at the next meeting.
Well, I thought we did.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. Was either the second meeting in February or the first meeting in March canceled?
The first meeting in March is the one that they're talking about.
Okay, that would be on March.
That was not canceled.
Those dates do conflict. What's that date?
The 12th.
Oh, okay.
So what I understood, the March 12th meeting has not been canceled, but you need to.
But we need to, right.
Gotcha. All right. Mayor, I can bring it back next meeting or the second meeting in March, whatever you prefer.
Okay, what's your pleasure? When you want to bring brought back?
If it's available next meeting, that's fine.
Okay.
We can vote
next
on it
meeting.
And move on.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, question, Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Whitmore referenced it, and that is our ethics. Mr. Small, Councilman Smallwood, have you been given our rule of ethics?
I took the ethics course.
We adopted ethics rules. Among this body.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I'd like to propose that we review those, especially with our new council person, and revise as appropriate if necessary. Mm-hmm. Are we able to do that the next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, we can bring the code of ethics. You want to take a look at it at
yes.
the next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Well?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll get everyone the current version of that and you can read it. The rules of procedures that you're considering to enacting may may cause me to have to change some of the ordinances. But we'll know what those are when we decide what those rules and procedures are going to be. But I think that's a separate issue from the Code of Ethics.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything in the Code of Ethics that really has much implication for the rules of procedure.
Okay.
But we'll take a look at that, and it'd be a good time to do that.
When could you have the Code of Ethics to us?
Oh, I can send that to you tomorrow.
Okay, then so we can send it out to the council ahead of time of the packet.
Right. Right.
And then as soon as you have that ready, we can send that out.
Right.
The decorum, we can send that out ahead of time before the packet goes out, so that if anybody sees anything else, we can fix it. We can tweak it before.
Okay. Okay, let's try to get through the agenda real quick. We only have 3 items, and we can decide whether or not we're going to place them on the full agenda or we're going to do consent. The first item on the regular agenda is from Parks and Recreation. Ms. Payne, would you come up? Consideration and action on facility use agreement for Southside Kickers 2018 season.
Yes, so what you have before you is the contract for Southside Kickers. They've been using the park for the last 3 years. This is just for Sundays only. So we're waiting. We'll reevaluate South Fulton Little League's registration and see if we can add another day. Kickball is requesting Tuesday, but we can't offer that day until we see what registration is for kickball, I mean, for baseball.
When will we, I'm sorry.
Go on, are there any questions?
When will we know that?
I gave him a deadline of February 28th to give me an updated number. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any objection to placing this on the consent agenda? Okay, consent agenda. The next item is Public Works. Consideration and action on the City of Fairburn's appointment to the South Fulton CID Board of Mr. Kelvin Cal.
Right. CID Administrator Jody Gray asked us to approve their recommendation of Mr. Kevin Kelly. He is the Vice President of DCT Industrial. They own approximately 3 million square feet of property on Oakland Industrial and Manhattan Road, and they're asking for our consideration for his approval.
Is there any objection to this going? Any questions, first of all? Okay. Any questions? Okay.
Do you know this individual? Have you worked with him?
I have not worked with him, but I've met him at the CID meetings.
Okay. And then what does our representative mean? What is he responsible for, being a representative of the City of Fairburn?
He just votes on proposed projects.
Okay, so
he has a vested interest because he has properties on Bohannon and at Oakland Industrial, which is pretty much our heavy industrial areas.
Okay.
Which he has a vested interest in, so he probably voted not safe.
All right, and we do monitor that, right? That we would be aware of what those issues are and how they're voting.
Yeah, we don't see that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, any other questions? Is there any objection to placing this on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Okay, this will be placed on the consent agenda. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Thank you. You have the other item, the last item, community development, consideration and action on an agreement with Kimley Horn and Associates for engineering services related to the Fairburn Park and Ride project in the amount of $44,300.
That's correct. Kimley Horn recently completed a set of construction documents for the South Fulton CID. It had some shortcomings in it. We asked them to go back and revisit it to incorporate a master stormwater plan, the accommodation of infrastructure for charging stations, and mass grading of the future expansion.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Are there any questions?
Is the South Fulton CID going to reimburse this money, or is this an expense to the city?
This is beyond their contract, so this is an expense for the city. The South Fulton CID paid about $125,000 for the design thus far, and they've committed to paying up to $1 million for the construction of the parking lot.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes,
Mr. Whitmore?
When you say future, is that in reference to phase two?
Phase two,
ride?
That's correct.
Okay.
For public access for maybe MARTA buses and shuttles to go to the airport.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there is a continued communication in reference to the phase two with the MARTA. That's a big piece for the city.
We will continue those discussions. Keith Parker recently resigned from MARTA, who I was mainly dealing with previously, but I will find out the new CEO and get in contact with him. And he wrote a letter with the commitment, and so they will remind him of that commitment when we get to that point.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Any objection to putting this on the consent agenda? Seeing none, it goes on the consent agenda. Thank you so much. Okay, that ends our work shop. We have about 5 minutes before we adjourn to the full council meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. getting a lot accomplished.
Yeah, you are.
Can you believe I'm going to be here? I'm like, woo.
That's good, though.
Yeah, that is.
So we were up on the, it's in North Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Carding Gate River. And we were, wow.
Out there fishing?
No, we were just visiting my wife. And
okay.
We had a couple from one of the world to see an event at a winery in North Georgia. We ended up getting this house. It's right outside. River is just right behind.
Wow.
So it was like, there's the house.
No, that's nice.
That's from the bank of the river.
Okay,
river,
yeah.
The and it was raining so much. So it's way up. White cap. You can look at it. See trees.
Wow. Wow.
So then yesterday afternoon, we started seeing kayaks. Which I thought, God, that is so much fun.
Kayaking?
Yeah, I would love kayaking. Like, it's really such a high.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to work soon.
Yeah.
Water's
yeah.
So cold. And you could very easily be trapped in it and not be able to get out. Because it's just like, oh, what's it?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. I now call to order the Fairburn City Council meeting. Today is February the 12th, 2018. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Elizabeth Harbert.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
Councilman Pat Fallon.
Present.
Councilman Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
Mayor, all are present, and we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I would like for everybody to stand, please, while we have our invocation by Pastor Gary Taylor.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you bestow upon us every single day and evening. We thank you for mayor and council today. We pray that you give them the wisdom necessary to address all of the issues and concerns of our citizens, and that the issues and concerns that they address will be led and guided by your spirit. And we thank you for these things today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, how many speaker cards do you have?
I have two.
Okay, we have 3 minutes for each speaker. Call the first speaker, please.
James Sumners.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd just like to add some information to the discussion about the polling places. I live less than 2 miles from First Baptist, and I was supposed to go over to Open Word. And I told my next-door neighbor where they were supposed to go. They had no idea where it even is. And when I first moved within the city limits, my polling place was at First Baptist. And I missed early voting, so I was having to go to the polling location. And I drove up and down Malone Street looking for some hidden church I knew wasn't there before I finally came into the city hall and asked where it would be. And it was over across the railroad tracks. Fast forward to election night 2017, I'm coming out of the post office after checking my mail when someone pulls up and asks me where First Baptist is. He had done the exact same thing. And I told him I wish you had found me earlier because it's literally 701 and it's across the tracks there. My opinion is that something needs to be fixed there, and I think the easiest solution is to rename the street on the other side of the tracks. Because no one can find the place according to the way they typically find things with GPS and such. It puts you over on this side because this is where Malone Street really is, and no one can find it.
Thank you, Mrs. Sumners.
Rebecca Helgen.
Hi. I only have a few minutes, and I have a lot to go over. So let me start by saying I moved here 2 years ago to Fairburn, and I love it. So don't misread anything that I'm saying here. I live on Mann Road in the southwestern area of the city. I know from the looks on your faces, you're puzzled by that because yes, it is in the city of Fairburn. I have a Palmetto mailing address and I have some pictures of what it looks like over there because I'm sure a lot of you never come to the area. The first picture is welcome you to the city of Fairburn. This is what it looks like all the time.
This is coming through Fayette County side. Coming into
this is not only when it rains. This is what you see every time you come into the city of Fairburn on my side of town. I have 52 other pictures here. None of them are duplicated. Of more than 500 potholes in the road. There are two trees that are down in the area that are held up by what I thought were power lines, but after many, many, many phone calls I've figured out or been told that it's telephone lines. They are suspended by that. There are, and you're more than welcome to flip through these pictures, there are power lines down on the side of the road. The trees are hanging by the line. There's trash. It is unbelievable, the trash. The bushes were growing out into the road, and I called for 2 years to have them trimmed back. I finally got them trimmed back in December, but the problem was they never picked them up. So then about 2 weeks ago, I began calling again to have the clippings picked up. Thankfully, somebody hired Kevin in the street department because that poor man has worked so hard for about 2 days doing all that he is allowed to do. He picked up the clippings, and the street department patched one pothole. I can't even drive down the road without having to straddle or somebody coming at me head-on straddling a pothole. Dump trucks, there's a picture in there of the four-way stop at Johnson and Gallant Road. Dump trucks run that stop sign. Now, instead of running the stop sign to make the turn, hard right turn, they now avoid the intersection altogether, and they've made their own road right through the corner, right through the mud, right through. So they don't even have to make that sharp turn anymore, which they don't like to do. There's also a sign in front of the city, welcome to the city of Fairburn, that says no three-axle vehicles. They go about 70 miles an hour down Johnson Road. And when a dump truck is going 70 miles an hour straddling a pothole, which it's all the way down. You got one choice to get out of the way. Now, I'm going to request that somebody come and just visit my area.
Okay.
That's one thing, and then I know I'm out of time, but the other thing I'd like to suggest, and this may get back to the other gentleman's idea, I believe the city's GPS system needs to be updated, because my road, there's a bridge out, and it's been out, from what I understand, at least 10 years, if not more.
Okay.
I like having it out, but the GPS shows that road goes all the way through.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Our city administrator, Ms. Gayton, yes, will be in touch with you, with certain city departments. You'll be hearing from her on tomorrow, okay?
I've been that route, and like I said.
Well, this is a new administration. I can guarantee you that she will be in touch with you on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Some city workers will be out there. We will resolve the problem, okay? I promise you that.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I overlooked a presentation that's really near and dear to us tonight. And so I'm going to ask council if they would come down and join me as we make this presentation. This is the presentation tonight for one of our very own, Stephen Hood, who's leaving us. He's retiring from the city of Fairburn. And we're doing a proclamation for him. And let me just say before I read the proclamation that I am kind of heartbroken tonight to see him leave. He has been here ever since I came to the city of Fairburn, which was 2008. And I've always known him to be a very gentle soul. He's tall, but he's a very gentle soul. And he came in a year and a half ago when we needed a city administrator. And he filled some tall shoes, and he did an excellent job. And so we're here tonight to honor him. We had a luncheon for him today, and all of the fire stations around the city called in and gave him kudos, and I've never seen that before. So with the help of my council members, I'm gonna read a proclamation, and we just wanna say thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for being a part of the city of Fairburn. And thank you so much for just being who you are. And we wish you well. We wish you blessings. And we wish you continued success as you pursue your dream of nursing once again. And so without any further ado, I'm gonna start the proclamation. Whereas Chief Stephen G. Hood is a dedicated husband to Mrs. Yolanda Hood since 1990 and father to two beautiful daughters, Mesa and Layla. And whereas Chief Hood's commitment to the community has been shown by his 29 years in fire service, starting with Fayette County as a firefighter in 1999. And whereas he continued to rise in rank, become an assistant fire chief in Fairburn in 2006 and promoted to chief in 2014. And whereas, in addition to his duties as fire chief, Stephen Hood accepted the duties of interim city administrator from June 2016 until December 2017. And whereas, Chief Hood's passion for people is shown not only by his dedication and commitment to fire, but also by his service to the nursing profession, having worked for such institutions as St. Francis Memorial Hospital, Rockdale Medical, Children's Health Care of Atlanta, Piedmont Atlanta Hospital, and Kaiser Permanente from 2009 until present. And whereas, under his leadership, the fire department obtained ISO Class 1 status, implemented automatic aid with surrounding cities, received grant for a state-of-the-art cascade air pack filling system, purchased LifePak 15 defibrillators, and implemented a first responders unit, among other accomplishments. Now, therefore, I, Elizabeth Carhurst, Mayor of the City of Fairburn, along with Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore and City Council members Alex Heath, Pat Pallon, Hattie Porters Jones, and Ulysses Smallwood, do hereby recognize and give our sincere thanks to Chief Hood for all of his contributions to the City of Fairburn. Furthermore, we wish Stephen G. Hood continued success in whatever path God chooses for him in the future. By my hands, this 12th day of February, 2018. Thank you so much.
All I want to say is just very briefly, thank you, Mayor Hurst. Thank you, council and staff members and the fire department and everybody here. I just want to tell you thank you for allowing me to pursue my dream and being a firefighter. I'm not leaving because I don't like Fairburn. I'm just ready to go to chapter two. I want to be home more with my teenagers. I know they're excited about that. I want them writing any books about me when they grow up. And I just want to say very briefly, Fairburn is a great place. That's why I stayed for so long. It's a great place. I told the staff today, you have a unique opportunity that you have a mayor and a council and Ms. Gayden who listen to you and can make an impact. And we really do serve the citizens. So keep coming to the council meetings. And I'm just going to say thank you for allowing me to serve, to be a servant. It was a great experience. I'll be around. Hopefully I don't see you in the hospital, but if I do, I'll try to take the best care of you. Thank my wife and family. I know I came home a lot of times. Tired and frustrated, not because of the city, but because of me. But they loaned me out for a long time. So I'm retiring from the fire service, not retiring from working. But thank you again. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Thank you all, department heads and staff members. Godspeed and God bless.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the city council minutes. The first set of, we have two sets of minutes. The first set of minutes is January 22nd, 2018. Yes, we will. Let's go back and adopt the city council agenda for tonight. We have three items on the agenda. The first item is Parks and Recreation, consideration and action on a facility use agreement for Southside Kickers 2018 season. Public Works, consideration and action on the City of Fairburn's appointment to the South Fulton CID Board of Mr. Kevin Kelly, and consideration and action on an agreement with Kimley Horn and Associates for engineering services related to the Fairburn Park and Ride project in the amount of $44,300. Is there a motion on the floor to approve this agenda?
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Whitmore, second by Mr. Heath. All in favor?
Aye.
It's approved 5-0. The next item is the adoption of the consent item agenda. Consent item number one, Parks and Recreation, consideration and action on facility use agreement for Southside Kickers 2018 season. Consent item number two is consideration and action on the City of Fairburn's appointment to the South Fulton CID Board of Mr. Kelvin Kelly. Consent item number three is consideration and action on an agreement with Kimley Horn and Associates for engineering services related to the Fairburn Park and Ride project in the amount of $44,300. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Whitmore, second by Mr. Heath. Is there any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? 5-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the adoption of the city council minutes. We have two sets of minutes for adoption. The first is January 22nd, 2018. Has council had time to review these minutes? January 22nd. Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Portis-Jones, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smallwood. Are there any corrections? Seeing no corrections, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those in polls? Motion carries 5-0. The second set of minutes on the agenda is February 1st and 2nd, 2018. These were our retreat. The council went to Chateau Elan for a two-day retreat. And so the minutes for that retreat are included on this meeting. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes for February 1st?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Whitmore. Is there
second.
A second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. Are there any corrections? Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those in polls? Motion carries 5-0. The second set of minutes on that retreat was February the 2nd. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Whitmore, second by Mr. Heath. Is there any discussion or corrections?
Small correction on number four wrap up. There, T-H-E-R-E should be T-H-E-I-R, there, under wrap up.
Are there, so noted, Madam Clerk, did you note that?
Yes, ma'am, I got it.
Okay, Are there any other corrections?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, it passes 5-0. The next item on the agenda is our council comments. And we'll start with Mr. Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. No comment.
Okay. Mr. Heath?
No comment.
Ms. Portis-Jones?
I gotta maintain my reputation. I just want to say congratulations to Chief Hood again, and to just state for the record how much I've enjoyed working with him and how much I'll miss him.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Pallett?
I'm timing this, so no comments require 4 seconds.
Councilman, no comment. Okay. My only comments are that just wanted to congratulate Chief Hood again for his service to the city of Fairburn. He will solely be missed here. He is, like I said, is a gentle giant. And as I was reading the proclamation, my secretary cried the whole time. And she's still crying. So. But we're all going to miss him. And he was here to take the helm when there was no one else to do it for us. And our city administrator said today in a speech that he, even before she came on board, he was passing off his responsibilities to her. And she was still working another job. But we're going to miss him. And so we do wish him all the best and Godspeed. The last item on the agenda is approval of our January 22nd, 2018 minutes. We have to approve our executive session minutes. And so we do this in regular council meeting. So has council looked at the January 22nd, 2018 executive session minutes? Are there any questions?
No, ma'am.
Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move.
A motion by Ms. Portis-Jones, second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
5-0 approved. There's no executive session tonight. It is now 7:27, and I call this meeting to end. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
This meeting is now ended. Thank you.
Well, I hope your mouth feels better by tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? I took one and the other.
Feel better. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good.